It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Takes a shot.
Here's Corey Davis, wide open. Davis. Still going, and he's in for the touchdown.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time to talk about the last-minute buzz surrounding the NFL draft. And there is a lot of it as we get ready for the draft tomorrow. We're going to be doing a huge virtual party with U Stadium, so we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But of course, to talk about all of this, we bring in our friend, co-founder over at U Stadium, Mr. Nick Spano. Nick, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much, man. Just kind of putting the final touches on like our last mock draft of the year, and definitely not going to be sad to see the mock drafts go. So excited that it's finally here, but anxious for, I guess, not as much too, but 23 and 34, where you're really kind of turning your focus to.
As much as it's always fun to play with those draft simulators, I'm with you. I'm done with it, and I'm ready for the draft to actually happen now. So let's talk about what you're hearing with the Jets. We know where they're going at number two. It's quarterback, and unless something crazy happens, it's going to be Zach Wilson from BYU. But beyond that, 23, 34, and beyond, sounds like there are a couple of players that they're really focusing on, especially on the offensive line and especially on the offensive side of the ball, which does make sense because if you're drafting a quarterback at number two, you want to make sure you put him in the optimal position to succeed. You don't want to repeat the mistake that you made with Sam Darnold. So tell me a little bit about what you're hearing, not just at 23, not just at 34, but with the overall draft philosophy with the Jets.
Yeah, I think fans and bloggers, podcasters, super fans, let's call them, they do such a good job of identifying and kind of reading the tea leaves on where the Jets are going to go, that nothing they do is kind of going to surprise us, right? Unless they go out and they take ETN at 23, which would be a surprise, but I wouldn't, not that I'm saying they're going to take him at 23, but even if they did, I wouldn't be shocked because there's a lot of rumors about ETN really rising up and, being the first running back taken, and the Jets are really all over the running back market. I mean, from, the ETNs and Najee Harris's all the way to Khalil Herbert's in the fifth round or, at day three at some point. So, fans do such a good job of kind of, again, reading what's going on and identifying where the Jets' weaknesses are. And there's plenty of them, but if it goes O-line, corner, receiver, or O-line, edge, receiver, then running back, I don't think anybody will really be surprised. I think they definitely are leaning offensive line at 23, in or around 23. If they have to move up a few spots to get someone like a Tevin Jenkins, if they sit there and cross their fingers that he falls, move back a few picks and maybe get an interior lineman like a Creed Humphrey. So I think that's really where the thought is. It depends on we spoke about in the before we recorded, does a corner fall? The latest I'm hearing with Caleb Farley is most teams expect him to fall into the second round in day two. The medicals are an issue and teams aren't willing to take that risk in such a strange year. They'll probably trend towards taking the healthier player that they saw on tape last year instead of a guy with an injury question like Caleb Farley. So if he falls, he's there at 23 and the Jets pass on him, do they maybe say, all right, we don't feel as bad of taking a swing here at 34, and do they get Farley because he's the best player there, or is he off the board completely because of his injury? So it's a he's going to be an interesting player to watch and see what other teams do. And, you could have a team like you know, at the bottom of the first round, in the market for a cornerback, like let's say the Saints or the Packers, who get a guy who would probably be top 10 pick if he was healthy. And do they just say, hey, we're going to take him and kind of redshirt him, or, you know, maybe play him in the second half of the year of the playoffs, just let him heal up completely. So he's somebody interesting to watch. But, you know, it's the guys that we've really spoke about that you'll continue to, you know, look for, the Tevin Jenkins, the Elijah Vera Tucker, which I think will be off the board before the Jets pick at 23. You know, but if he starts to fall towards 18, 19, do they move up to get him? So I wouldn't be surprised if they do. I'm going to go out on a limb and say they won't pick at 23 and 34. I think there'll be a move up or down from either one of those picks. Again, not really going out on a huge limb, but I could totally see that happening. And then in the third round, it's probably going to be your skill position. You know, they take a running back or a receiver. I would say a receiver is in play at 34 based on, you know, some of the things that I've heard, whether it's one of the Moores that they like, you know, Elijah or Rondale, Kadarius Toney, depending on, you know, how they have the board with his character, some of the character issues that people are, in my opinion, making a bigger deal of with him than they should. But, you know, I think they'll come away with probably two offensive linemen, a corner, a receiver, and a quarter, and a, obviously the quarterback, but a running back within the top, what do they have, five picks in the first three rounds. So I would be surprised if there's anything else other than that. I don't know. You know, I know a lot of people are connecting them with edge players, but I think they have a more of a value on the offensive lineman and skill position players than they do on the edge players.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Let's go around the horn a little bit, Nick, and talk about what we've been hearing. San Francisco 49ers, boy, has that gotten interesting. We've heard at different times that it was going to be Mac Jones, then Lance, then Fields. Now we're back to Mac Jones. Mac Jones, the heavy betting favorite to be the number three overall pick. I really want that to happen because I am somebody who really enjoys the LOLs and the chaos. So having all these people on Twitter and on television calling Kyle Shanahan an idiot is going to be really, really funny to me. The Falcons, I'm hearing that if they don't move out of that number four spot, and that it would take a lot for them to get out of that spot, but if they don't move out of there, it's going to be Pitts. It sounds like Ja'Marr Chase is probably going to be the pick at number five over Penei Sewell. Everybody seemed to have had Penei Sewell penciled in there for a really long time, but in the end, it appears, from what I'm hearing, that the Bengals are leaning towards reuniting Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. And then you get to the Dolphins. And, Nick, this is going to be interesting because they traded down and then they traded back up. And if they don't get Ja'Marr Chase, who is the guy that everybody assumed they traded back up for, do they go with a receiver or do they regret the fact that they even traded back up? Maybe they should have just stayed at 12 if they traded down, or if they really wanted Pitts or Chase, they should have stayed at number three in the first place. So what are you hearing about some of these? We'll go through a bunch of the rest of the teams and some stuff that we're hearing last minute, but what are you hearing about those teams within the top six?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, you hear, to start with the Niners, you hear the Mac Jones rumors loud and clear. When they first made the trade, personally, without reaching out to anybody, I thought it was for Trey Lance. Then you hear all the Mac Jones and you can't help but buy it. Then you start to reach out to people and they're convinced it's Trey Lance. So as we stand right now, you know, just let's say hours before the draft at this point, right? I think we're close enough that we can say that. Mm-hmm. I personally think it's going to be Trey Lance. I would not be shocked if it's Mac Jones. You know, and then where does Mac Jones end up? So it's crazy. I mean, this Niners pick has been basically run through the mill for over a month now since the trade up. If I were a betting man, I would go Trey Lance. Then that takes you to Atlanta. And yeah, I'm hearing similar, like they would probably like to trade out and get a haul. Is someone going to offer that, like a Denver, or, you know, I don't think they want to move so far out to New England at 15, Washington at 19, Chicago at 20. I don't think they want to do that. So that makes, you know, Denver possibly an option at 9 to move up, possibly. But, you know, it's going to take a lot to to get up there. So at the end of the day, I would probably, again, if I were a betting man, I would bet Kyle Pitts lands at four. And I've heard the same thing where I expected Penei Sewell to be the pick forever. You know, I thought that was like probably besides for Lawrence going one, the most sure thing of the draft. It just makes so much sense to grab a guy like Sewell five. But from what I hear, they are leaning towards Ja'Marr Chase and reuniting Burrow and Chase with the LSU connection. And then I wouldn't be shocked if Joe Brady's their head coach next year, but that's for next year's conversation. So it's, you know, then you have Miami in there. You know, everybody's been praising, you know, Chris Greer and Brian Flores and what the Dolphins have done to accumulate so many picks, but maybe they did misread the room here, and maybe they did make one too many moves with this, you know, this trade to move out of the top five in this draft and not land Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase. Because I spoke with, you know, let's say I spoke with 10 Dolphins fans, 8 of them said that they would be pissed if they don't end up with Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase, you know, a Penei Sewell or a Devonta Smith or Jalen Waddle would be basically like a consolation prize. You know, they had their eyes set on these elite players in the draft because, you know, we all like Devonta, we all like Waddle, but let's be honest, they're a step below Ja'Marr Chase. You know, they just are. He's the crown jewel at receiver, and Kyle Pitts is probably the crown jewel of anybody not named Trevor Lawrence. So, you know, you have to think that maybe they did overplay their hand here and made one too many moves with this trade back, and, you know, they might be left out of landing these, you know, the top two guys. And then maybe they do trade back again, you know, with Denver. Let's say they move from 9 to 6, that'll cost a lot less than going from 9 to 4. And they are still in the game for Devonta Smith or Jalen Waddle there. And they come up and get Denver comes up and gets Justin Fields or Mac Jones, whoever is their cup of tea there. So many different possibilities, you know, making these mock drafts are like impossible at this point, especially if you don't do trades. And then, you know, I tweeted it out earlier. It's like, we're at the point of this draft where almost everything you hear right now is garbage. You know, you can toss it out the window. It's teams trying to make the last play, you know, to kind of sucker another team into doing something, or it's the media just trying to generate more hype around, you know, the draft and their brand or whatnot. So, I mean, you hear so many different things and so many different rumors on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday that you're probably better off. And, you know, I probably shouldn't say this, being in the business, you know, same as you, Scott, is you're probably better off turning off your phone these, you know, last few hours and just waiting until 8 o'clock on Thursday night. But it's a crazy time. It's always fun to follow it, but I feel like a lot of the times it's like a lot more you know, smoke than fire.
I would say at least turn your phone on at 7 o'clock when we start our draft show over at U Stadium. Before
well
that, if you want, you can have the phone off. But I would say that there's a lot of intrigue going on around a lot of the picks that you just talked about, including Denver, because do they end up with a quarterback after there was all this talk throughout the offseason that they wanted to make a move? They didn't get Darnold. They weren't able to get Stafford. Do they luck into somebody like Justin Fields? Maybe they move up a couple of spots and get him, or Mac Jones or Trey Lance, depends on who the pick is at number three, and then that'll set a bunch of things in motion. And then you take a look at teams like the Cowboys and Giants. The Giants, you would assume, are going to take somebody on the offensive side of the ball because they really want to help Daniel Jones. But will one of the elite wide receivers make it to them at number 11? I'm not so sure. It's possible, but I wouldn't bank on it. With the Cowboys, we know that Jerry Jones supposedly loves Kyle Pitts, but the problem is he's not going to be able to get him unless they make some sort of big move up the board. This sort of reminds me a little bit, Nick, of what happened when they passed on Johnny Manziel and took Zach Martin. It was Jerry Jones who apparently really wanted Johnny Manziel, and everybody else was like, no, Zach Martin. And obviously they made the right call there. So perhaps Jerry Jones wants to make some sort of big move up for Kyle Pitts, and the other people are going to say, our defense stinks. We need to get somebody like Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn. That makes a lot more sense to me. So what are you hearing here with the Giants, the Cowboys, the Broncos? Do you think there are some moves that could be in the works?
Yeah, I personally said it last week on the timeout with U Stadium. My prediction, bold prediction for the draft was a Miami-Denver trade. Denver comes up and takes one of the quarterbacks available there. Miami comes, you know, moves back to 9, and they end up with one of the Bama receivers. Dallas is not trading up. That's just all. Jerry Jones is bored. He's upset nobody's talking about his Cowboys, and he just wants to get back into the spotlight. They're going to take the best defensive player there. My thought is Patrick Surtain. Then you have the Giants, who are in an interesting spot. I know of the few players that they think very highly of, the two Alabama receivers, Elijah Vera Tucker, and both corners, J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain. I would be surprised if J.C. Horn makes it past the Giants pick at, 11 or 12? 11, I think, and the Eagles are 12. So I would be surprised if the Giants don't take Horn if he's on the board there, because, you know, you think Devonta goes before there, you think Waddle ends up before there, then that kind of puts Vera Tucker and Surtain goes to Dallas, and then the Eagles are in an interesting position too. So I don't think Dallas has any chance. Dallas trades up. Like you said, they probably just told Jerry, yeah, he can go have some fun in front of the cameras, but when push comes to shove, you know, push comes to shove, the guys behind the scenes are making the picks, led by his son, Stephen Jones. And ever since they've kind of, I guess, handed the baton to him and the scouting department there, Dallas has been one of the better drafting teams. So Jerry can have his fun, but they're not trading up for Kyle Pitts. I mean, I would say maybe, you know, if a team like Arizona, they make a huge trade up, but I just think to trade all the way up, that it would take to get, you know, a tight end, albeit Kyle Pitts is super, super interesting player. I don't think anybody's going to make a trade up for a tight end.
I have heard that Cliff Kingsbury loves Pitts and is willing to give up a lot to go and get him. So I wouldn't say it's impossible, but yeah, it would take a ton to get Kyle Pitts going from 16, most likely to number 4. However, Cliff Kingsbury's job may very well be on the line, so he may be feeling that pressure to get a superstar to give to Kyler Murray. So we'll see how that shakes out. He is somebody that likes to make big, bold, aggressive moves. I mean, look at what he did with Kyler Murray right off the bat, taking him 1 year after the Cardinals used the number 10 overall pick on Josh Rosen. So I wouldn't rule out anything with Kingsbury, although, Nick, as I joked with you before we started recording, this is the kind of thing that got him fired at Texas Tech, because all he did was pay attention to the offense. The defense couldn't stop anybody, and so they never won any games. He is definitely a coach, and the Cardinals are definitely an organization that I would keep my eye on, though, on draft night. I'm hearing a lot of buzz about the Pittsburgh Steelers getting Najee Harris, which, if you think about it, makes a lot of sense, because they have a lot of really good pieces on that offense. The defense is really strong. Roethlisberger is the weak link. They're not going to be able to replace him this year unless Dwayne Haskins magically becomes a really good quarterback. So if you get Najee Harris and plug him in there, and he can be that guy that touches the ball 30 times, makes Ben's life a lot easier, makes it so he doesn't have to do as much, you could be looking at a team that could contend for a Super Bowl, make a deep playoff run. I know that a running back is a luxury usually, but at number 24 for a team that is as well-stocked as the Steelers, I think it would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think so too, but I would be weary of Travis Etienne here, because the latest buzz, and we tweeted it out earlier on Tuesday, was a lot of teams expect him to be the first running back taken, and they think it'll be in the early to mid 20s, which could mean before the Jets pick, which could mean at the Jets pick, or it could mean here with Pittsburgh. So Etienne has kind of made a late run up a lot of teams' boards when they kind of take a step back and say, all right, well, this guy kind of trends more to where the running back position is going right now. Better. They feel he's a better pass catcher, even though Najee Harris had, I think, double-digit passing, receiving touchdowns last year. But there are a lot of, you know, Travis Etienne has a lot of fans in the league. So I wouldn't be surprised if Etienne is the first running back taken. But, yeah, I feel like, you know, I spoke with a few Steeler fans, and they are all kind of trending toward the running back, which is interesting, because, you know, everything now you hear is don't take running backs in the first round, right? But yeah, I think a lot of Steelers fans feel that the Steelers are at their best when they can run the ball really effectively. And, you know, ever since Le'Veon Bell left, they haven't been able to do that at all. You know, Connor really never kind of was able to replicate that one year that he had. And Pittsburgh's rushing offense has basically been one of the worst. So, you know, I think they feel that they need to bring in a really talented back, but it's just, I don't know, are the Steelers really going to draft a running back in the first round? I have a hard time seeing it, but that's where a lot of people are leading, you know, towards right now. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised if they do end up getting Etienne or Harris.
Nick, I want to talk about the Eagles. We brushed upon them earlier for a minute, but I think what's probably going to happen here is they're going to look to take the best corner or the best receiver available. If one of the three top receivers falls to them at 12, they'll do that. If one of the corners, whether it's Surtain or Horn, falls to them, they'll do that. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they wind up taking Newsom at number 12. I know a lot of people think that he could slide to the Jets, but you see this every year. Guys go a little bit higher or a little bit lower than you're expecting. I wouldn't be shocked in the least if he ends up being the 12th pick if those three wide receivers are off the board and both Surtain and Horn are gone as well. And then with the Patriots, what's going on here? So much noise about them trying to make a move up to get Justin Fields. They did spend a ton of money in the offseason in free agency filling needs. Was that partially, do you think, to give Belichick the flexibility to use his draft picks to move up if he wanted to get a quarterback?
Until I see Belichick move up for a quarterback, I'm not going to believe it. I don't know. I know there's a lot of people talking about it, and it sounds good, and it's good for TV and radio. Unless one falls towards 10, you know, that area, I don't think he's going to go all the way up into the top, you know, six or eight to get one. I still think they're going to end up with Jimmy Garoppolo. I'll say that until I see him week one on the Niners. I just see them taking a defensive player, someone who can get after the quarterback. I feel like a Kwity Paye is going to land there. To your point about the Eagles and Newsom, I don't think it's crazy because in the mock that I'm going to, you know, we're going to put out, I have him going four picks later to Arizona. So I think that's kind of the sweet spot for him. Like, I know they love Devonta Smith and Waddle. I know they love J.C. Horn. But if those guys go before and they're sitting there, you might be deciding between Newsom or do they go Vera Tucker, you know, add to the offensive line, which is aging. You don't know how much longer Kelce is going to play. You don't know how much longer Brandon Brooks is going to play. You don't know how much longer Lane Johnson is going to play. So they're going to start to need to replace this offensive line. And I know they have a lot of first round picks coming up in the next few years. I believe they could potentially have three next year. You're going to want to start to build around whoever is going to play quarterback. If that's Hurts who does come through, or if it's next year, you get your guy. So I wouldn't rule out offensive line there, but I think if Waddle, Smith or J.C. Horn are available when the Eagles pick, I think it'll be one of those guys. If not, I would probably lean Vera Tucker. And then with the Pats, I feel like a Kwity Paye, again, another potential Vera Tucker landing spot if they want to continue to add to their offensive line, the flexibility, the position flexibility, you know, the Pats love. I mean, every team does, but especially the Pats. So I just, like I said, until I see it, I don't believe Belichick's going to make that big jump for a quarterback.
Nick, last order of business, you mentioned Travis Etienne as a late riser. Who are some other names you're hearing as far as going up and down the draft board? And what do you know about the medical stuff? Because there were reports from Rappaport and a couple of others that teams are really nervous. They haven't been able to get the kind of medical information that they're looking for. So it makes you wonder if players with major injury issues like Caleb Farley, who you mentioned earlier, could slide a lot more than they normally would and a lot more than we were anticipating.
Yes. Well, Farley, one, is someone who could fall out, you know, into the second round. You know, you mentioned Etienne that we spoke about before. Elijah Moore is somebody that I definitely think is going to be in the first round, the bottom of the first round. Another guy who's interesting is Christian Barmore, the interior D lineman with Alabama. If he doesn't have a team, you know, in the late teens, I could see him falling to day two. Tyson Campbell, both, you know, the Georgia cornerbacks, are rising, according to the NFL Network. They put out a few names today. Another name to watch is Ronnie Perkins. I know he has a lot of fans in the scouting world. I'm not sure where he would go, but he's somebody to watch out for. And Javonta Williams. I mean, the running back situation is going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. Like, if Williams is the first running back taken, would I be shocked? No. If he's the third running back taken, would I be shocked? No. So I think it really depends more on the team. You know, Williams could really fit in anywhere. But if a team really wants one of, like, your traditional backs, he kind of fits that mold better than the other two. So if he goes before those guys, I wouldn't be surprised. So he's somebody who I could see going a lot earlier than some. And then, you know, a guy like Kadarius Toney is interesting because another situation, if he's not taken early 20s, he could slide into the 40s because of the character issues. So again, character issues in quotes, because I personally don't think it's a big deal at all. So, you know, there's always going to be some guys up and down. And then the edge class as a whole, I would say is one that you could see some guys falling out, like Gregory Rousseau. I don't think he's getting picked in the first round. I don't think he's a first round player. Jalen Phillips could go a lot earlier than people think, like top, you know, 18. So, you know, you always have a guy or two who makes that deep fall. Is Justin Fields going to fall? Like, I don't know. I think he has enough fans around the league that he won't fall out of the teens. But like, Chris Sims put out a mock draft and he was 32nd. Like, he's not going to be picked 32nd, but if he falls to New England at 15, would I be shocked? No. You know, so I know there's a lot of teams that have him as the fourth or fifth ranked quarterback, a lot more than that have him number two. So if he does make an Aaron Rodgers like fall, I would be surprised. But you know, if he makes a fall to the teens, I wouldn't be. So it's crazy. I mean, it's just a wild time, and so much depends again on like the medicals that you brought up. I haven't been able to like hear of anybody outside of like Farley whose medicals were really like an alert, you know, an alarm. Probably going to keep that more close to the vest as the draft does come, but I'm sure afterwards or during, you're going to see somebody fall and you're going to be like, oh, that's the reason why player X fell. So I don't think we'll kind of be, you know, privy to that knowledge beforehand. So it's something that'll probably play out live.
Nick Spano, co-founder of U-Stadium, as always, thanks so much for coming on and sharing the intel you've been hearing. Really appreciate it. We got the big draft party coming up live on Thursday on the U-Stadium app, and then, of course, all over the place on video where you can watch on YouTube and so many other different places. Talk a little bit about that so that everybody has the details they need.
Yeah, it's so exciting, man. It's like, you know, we obviously always do the in-person draft events in the city with players at different bars or, you know, lounges or whatever it may be. And with COVID still lingering, we got to keep it virtual for one more year. And, you know, thanks to you and the Play Like a Jet guys and some of our sponsors that we're working with, we're going to, Scott's going to be hosting it for you. Yeah, I'll pop in. Frank will pop in. Brianna will pop in. We'll have CJ Mosley, Jamison Crowder, Hunter Henry from the Pats, some other players from around the league, different media people covering each specific team from around the league, kind of going through each pick and giving you the betting odds where you can find all that. And it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a place for everybody to kind of watch it together. And, you know, maybe even more fun than an in-person event because we could have people from all over. You know, people can't get to New York for a live event. We get to hang and watch it from our computers. So like you mentioned, it'll be live on the YouTube, live on our Twitch, Facebook, Periscope, even though I don't think that exists anymore, but Twitter allows you to go live with something, and of course on the app. So if you have any one of those things, you can join Scott, you can join Luke to Play Like a Jet guys, you can join myself, Frank, Brianna, some of our mega fans will hop in and out. So it's going to be cool. It's going to be a ton of people, basically like a round table event where we'll be cycling guys in and out and kind of trying to bring coverage from every team. But obviously the Jets have the sweet spot, and that's, you know, where we're, our focus always is. So it'll be a little Jets kind of biased, I guess you could say, but really just keeping an NFL draft focused. And I think it's going to be really fun, kind of a first trial run for all of us. So I'm sure there'll be few hiccups here and there, just to be expected. But I think it's going to be cool. It's going to be something that really everybody, you know, from New York to California to overseas, they can all, you know, we can all watch the draft together. So I'm excited for it.
Debating whether or not I should wear a Mel Kiper wig when I host this on Thursday.
That's a yes. Better than a Chris Berman wig at this point.
That's for damn sure. I promise no annoying nicknames like Chris Berman either, so you don't have to worry about that. But make sure that you download the U Stadium app if you haven't already and join us on Thursday from 7 o'clock before the draft starts until the very end of round number one. We will be with you. We will have great guests. We will have analysis. We'll talk about each pick. We'll go into detail about what we think of not just the picks that were made, but the picks that are coming up. So much to get to. It's going to be a lot of fun. Join us. You won't regret it. You'll enjoy it just like we will. I'm super excited about it. Anytime Nick and I get together, you know it's going to be a fun time. So now we throw a bunch of other people in, and it's going to be even more fun. Join us on Thursday, 7 o'clock is when it'll start, and then we'll take you all the way through the first round. But also, we will have a brand new episode of Play Like a Jet as well. Of course we will, because we do that every single day. And if you haven't given the show a 5-star review on iTunes yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And if you want our Play Like a Jet draft guide put together by Luke Grant, you can get it absolutely free right now. Luke's going to tell you exactly how you can do that. Luke, tell them all about it, buddy.
Thanks, Scott. Yeah, I released a draft guide earlier this week, and I'm really happy with how it turned out. For 2021, we've got a lot of Jet-centric content. Starts with my top 50 big board, some of the players I'm really high on, probably higher than the consensus, like Kendrick Green and Rondale Moore are fairly high on that board. We then have 5 selections for each pick on days 1 and 2 for the Jets that I'm really high on. So we're talking picks 23, 34, 66, and 86. I give you 5 names and then a detailed scouting report on those players, talking pros, cons, and then a player comparison as well. 7-round mock draft for the Jets, guys I would target. You'll see some overlap there from guys I talked about throughout the draft guide. And it's just a whole lot of Jets content. So really happy with how it panned out. If you're interested in reading it and supporting us, make sure you subscribe to the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. You leave a 5-star Apple review for Play Like a Jet, the podcast. And make sure you send me an email at lukegrantnfl@gmail.com. Or you follow me on Twitter and send me a DM, lukegrant7 on Twitter. Thanks very much, and I can't wait for the draft.
I'm really excited, too, and if you want to be ready for the draft and have all the information right at your fingertips, go ahead and email Luke, contact him on Twitter, send him a screenshot of you subscribing to our channel on YouTube and giving us a 5-star review on iTunes, and he will go ahead and send you the Play Like a Jet draft guide. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.